Morning, everybody. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter, chapter 5, near the end of the Bible. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 5-7. 1 Peter 5, verse 5-7. From the NASB, it says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for another great day, a day filled with hope and wonder, and a day filled with opportunity. Lord, we just pray that that you would speak to us. Our desire is to be with you, to commune with you, to be in fellowship with you, to be in your presence. Lord, teach us your ways this day, that we may walk in your path. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Want to focus on verse 6 and 7. "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting your anxiety or your cares on him, because he cares for you." We've been talking about humility, but apparently there's a relationship between humbling yourself and anxiety or your fears or your cares. Apparently there's a relationship there. In other words, if you're not humble, then there is high anxiety. But Peter's saying, I want you to humble yourself, and as you humble yourself, I want you to cast your cares. I want you to cast your anxiety. In the Greek, that word cast is a fishing term. I grew up in Southern California, so, you know, I'm not really used to fishing or, you know, never been really around that. But here, at least in Hong Kong, there's some fishing villages. You've actually seen with your eyes people fishing. But this term casting isn't just putting your fishing pole and your line and just kind of waiting it. This idea of casting is throwing and casting your fishing line all the way to the deepest part of the sea. To violently throw your fishing rod or your fishing line, or to violently throw your nets to the deepest part of the sea. And so if you understand that imagery, this in verse 7, cast your cares on him. It's not like, okay, God, here's my problem, here's the deal, I hope something turns out well. It's this imagery of casting, throwing yourself violently, forcing your cares and your anxiety onto Jesus. Because he cares for you. So it's a totally different imagery of just kind of like a helpless, like a weak kind of like, okay, Lord, this is kind of a difficult time, so I'd appreciate it. It's like, Lord, I'm thrusting all my cares. But the only way to do that is to humble yourself. Say, Lord, you know, I used to be able to do this. I used to be competent in my job. I used to be competent leader of my family. I can't do it anymore. I just can't. And that only happens if you humble yourself. See, if you're filled with pride and you still think I can salvage this on your own, and you still think that, you know, I can do it out of my own power, then you hold on to your anxiety and your fear, you know, your ability to make money, your ability to be a good leader in the home. There's this relationship between humbling yourself and casting your fears because he cares for you. In fact, that's not even what I want to focus about, but it's this whole idea of humility. One pastor wrote, "I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one above another. And as the taller we grow, the easier we can reach these gifts that are on shelves, one above another. Now that as I mature in Christ, I find that God's gifts are actually on shelves, one beneath another. And the lower we stoop, the more gifts we get." Today, in the world, in our church, there's a a unity crisis amongst the fellowship, because there's a great scarcity in humility. There's an overabundance of pride everywhere. This word humility or humble, the most common Greek word in the New Testament is this tapeneos. Tapeneos or tapenu, tapenumai, well, however you want to conjugate that. But all of it, the literal translation is to make low, to make oneself low, or lowliness in mind. So simply said, humility means being in a low estate. It means seeing others higher than yourself. But the literal meaning of this word used here in 1 Peter is to level a mountain or a hill. To level a mountain or a hill. In other words, humble people are those who have no hills sticking up. And the imagery here is that, oh, that everything is nice and level, but that hill sticks out. And that looks ugly. And so we're going to level it and to make it low so that it all looks good. I mean, the most silly example or illustration I can think is in regards to plastic surgery, right? And maybe, you know, yeah, you're uncomfortable with your nose, and so you want to level it to make it, you know, look all cute and nice. And forgive me, but I mean, that's the only thing I can really think of making something level and low for the sake of its beauty to make it better. And so it's this idea, the tapeneos is to make level or low of a mountain or a hill. They're not filled up or lifted with hot air or arrogance or pride. And then I begin to think sort of the themes of scriptures, as I usually like to do. And I think of Jesus when he says, when he told the Jews and he invited people to these special banquets and dinners, that they should assume the seats of the least important people. Not the VIP status, but to assume to take this position of the least important people. And then I found Luke 3, chapter 3, verse 2, where it describes the mission of John the Baptist. And you don't have to turn there, but it says, John the Baptist was a voice crying in the desert, preparing the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And it says, every valley shall be filled up, every mountain and hill made low. And so John the Baptist's mission was to preach repentance. And what does repentance mean? What does it mean? It means to make yourself low. To say, God, I'm a sinner. I used to be all of this and all of that, but I'm going to make myself low, and I'm going to humble myself before you. You know, when you sin against someone, when you sin against a friend, a loved one, a spouse, in order to truly repent, you've got to make yourself low. And say, you know what? I thought, out of my pride and arrogance, that I was, you know, I was in control and enjoying this life, but I want to make myself low and realize that I was wrong, and I humble myself and I repent. And this was the mission of John the Baptist, to repent and be baptized and to make oneself low. And then in Luke 3, it actually says that he's the voice of one crying in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him, for every valley shall be filled up and every mountain and hill made low. And so he wanted people to humble themselves so that they could receive the gift of salvation. And his mission was to fill in the valleys and to flatten the hills. I believe that the more Christ-like a person is, the more humble and dependent he is. Matthew 18 says that unless you change and become like children, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You notice Jesus says, unless you change and become like children, you'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. You'll never enter unless you humble yourself like this child. This passage was never about being childish. It was never about, oh, look at these kids. Yeah, you have to be goofy and silly, and you have to, you know, have the personality of a child, and it has nothing to do with immaturity. It's this idea of humility. Children are humble because they are dependent upon someone else. That's what it means to be humble. It means, look, I used to think I could do this. I used to think that I am all powerful. I used to think that I'm all competent. I used to think I'm all that I could do, but now I'm going to humble myself and depend upon the Lord. I mean, in many cultures, and definitely in Korean culture, there's this idea of hierarchy, older, younger. And so, you know, you might be having a conversation with somebody younger with you, and they're like making absolutely no sense, right? Like, you're like, what the heck are you talking about? They may be talking out of their arrogance and pride, you know, and they're this younger brother, and you're like, you know, the translation is, you little punk, you know, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You know nothing, you know? And so the older brother will humble that person right on the spot. You little punk, you know nothing. You think you're all that, you know? And the translation is kind of like, you little childish one, you little kid. You're such a little kid. And that's when you say, thank you. That's what Jesus wants us to be. In other words, yeah, you're exposing exactly, I know nothing. I'm like a little child. I need you. I need you. The great preacher, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, talks about the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And he points out something that I felt was very pertinent in this whole discussion of humility. He said, if you remember the Beatitudes, blessed are those. And the very first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And if you think about it, and I think about it, every time I speak, and this is a Sermon on the Mount, this is a sermon that Jesus is preaching, every time I speak, I'm very cognizant and aware of, okay, how am I going to open? What is the first words I'm going to say? What is my introduction? What am I going to say to engage people? What am I going to say to establish my talk? And so here's Jesus' sermon, and the very first thing he says out of this incredible sermon of all these, blessed are, is he, blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is, and the very first thing he says is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so beyond any question of a doubt, there is an order that I believe is intentional by Jesus. And the very first thing he says is, blessed are the poor in spirit. And so as I feel like the Lord doesn't, you know, haphazardly, you know, accidentally put these in certain order, I think there's a logical spiritual sequence that is here. And in other words, there's no one that can enter into the kingdom of heaven unless he is poor in spirit, unless he humbles himself in his spirit, unless he is low in spirit, unless he is low. This is not about financial poverty or low self-esteem or unworthiness. It's none of that. It's this, the position of the heart that is made low, made in humility. And you won't find anyone in the kingdom of God who is not poor in spirit. It's the fundamental characteristic of a Christian. And it is the fundamental characteristic of someone that can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so it means to empty yourself. If you're truly humble, you're going to be constantly amazed that God is so good and gracious to you. I can, you know, confess that, you know, I am sort of a country bumpkin. I grew up in the country. You know, I grew up in the midst of farms and cows and things like that. And so I'm not a city boy, you know. And so, you know, coming to Hong Kong in this great metropolis and this great cosmopolitan city where you have access and opportunities for great food and things like that. And so growing up, you know, I remember the first time I went to like Ruth's Chris steakhouse, and I was like, wow, this is the most amazing, this is the greatest steak I've ever had in my life. And I was just so thankful for the people who brought me, thankful for the opportunity to eat, and I was just so, this is wonderful, this is like life-changing, in fact. You know, I was just like, great, you know, butter on your steak, my goodness, whoever, you know, praise the Lord for that. And then I come out to Hong Kong, and now I have an opportunity to have it a few times. And now it's like, wow, Ruth's Chris is just, this is whatever. And I find myself, as I continue to eat here in Hong Kong, that I slowly become a food snob where it's just like the greatest things, where I used to think like this is the greatest thing. Now, it's all right. It's okay. It's whatever's, you know. And I realized that if you're truly humble, it brings me back to that place where, wow, this is incredible. This is such a blessing. I am so grateful for this McDonald's Happy Meal. Remember when we were kids and we're so thankful for McDonald's Happy Meals? Now as we're older, how thankful are we as an adult to have a McDonald's Happy Meal? We're not. Well, maybe some of you might be. You still enjoy the toys. But because you're young and you're new and you're humble and you're a kid and you're so thankful and so happy. Now as we get older, filled with pride, it's like, Happy Meal? What is that? It's beneath me. Beneath me. Beneath me. But a humble person will not say that the things given by God is beneath me. Constantly thankful. Constantly filled with gratitude. Constantly amazed that God is so good. Constantly amazed in the midst of difficulty and tragedy that God is still good. Constantly amazed at through this tragedy or through this difficult, the overwhelming flooding of God's grace over our life. Because God has already proved his love in so many numerous ways. Hi, Olivia. And a humble person doesn't feel like God owes him or her any favors. Doesn't feel entitled to God's blessing or favor because God's already blessed you in many unrecognizable ways. That the Lord has rewarded us. The Lord has blessed us. And there's a sense of deep gratitude that comes in from a truly humble person. 1 Corinthians 1:8 says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. 1 Corinthians 13. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Once again, the imagery there. Love puffs up like a hot air balloon, like an empty gas bag. Knowledge puffs up. This idea of pride as a puffing up of an empty gas bag. But the latter, love, builds up. Love actually builds foundations. This idea of pride and knowledge and it just puffs you up like an empty gas bag. You know, Eugene Peterson wrote the Message Bible, and you know, he took liberties to translate that. That's how I would translate it, that the knowledge is an empty gas bag that just disappears, but love, it builds up, it builds foundations. Most education systems actually make us less humble. You ever talk to someone who knows a lot of stuff, you know, has a lot of information? Usually they're very prideful. Like, dude, what are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. You know, I've done all the research and da 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 da, you know, and they think they're the expert, and they're all puffed up, filled with pride. And so our educational systems, they make us less humble, in fact. And it elevates them to this world where they think they're superior. Finally, I just want to just sort of give us a checklist on what it means or how you can measure your humility. You can measure your lack of humility by the amount of praise you give to others. Do you praise others or do you never praise others? Those who are humble will often praise other people, once again, because they've made themselves low. And they've put others up. How badly do you desire for position or prestige or recognition? You can measure your lack of humility by the amount of times you contrast or compare your abilities with somebody else or your accomplishments with somebody else. You can measure your lack of humility by how often you feel hurt. Or slighted by somebody, or how deeply you feel resentment towards somebody, or how discouraged you feel from criticism from others. Why? Because your pride is hurt. Because we're filled with pride, and when you're resentful, when you're discouraged by criticism, when you feel hurt and slighted, it's your pride that gets hurt. So, humble people will make themselves low. You can measure your lack of humility by how much you grumble about the treatment you get. Or how critical you feel of others, or how much you gossip about others, or talk badly about others. Why? Because once again, that self-centeredness. You're filled with pride, and it's all about you, and you grumble about how people treat you and things like that. The greatest example is our Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest of all, the King of the universe, who humbled himself to be a servant for all of us. The scripture says God is love, but as I look at the life of Jesus, he is humility. There's no greater example of humility. And so my encouragement for us is as we meditate on humility, compare yourself to Jesus, and where do you fall in that humility scale? And you can measure your humility by your hunger for Jesus to receive more glory, by your desire for him to be exalted, by wanting to lift him up and making yourself low. You can measure your humility by wanting Christ to be made known throughout Hong Kong and throughout the world and things like that, that you want his name to be famous and not yours. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Even the phrase and the wording, let's bow our heads, is this whole idea of making yourself low. In prayer, there are many positions. And in our most desperate times, we kneel before the Lord. And even more desperate than that, we fall prostrate. And which is like laying on the ground. And I think if there was a way to even get lower than that, we would. And it's just natural in your desperation to kneel and to fall prostrate. Because humility will force you to be made low. And so this morning in our hearts, let's present our anxiety. 1 Peter says, cast it, throw it. Just throw it to Jesus. Humble yourself. Cast your cares, cast your anxieties, because he cares for you. He cares for you. I think that's the most humbling thing that Jesus could ever do, is to humble himself to care for me. For I'm not worthy, I'm not deserving to be cared for. But he lowers himself and he cares for you. So go ahead and cast your cares. Why don't we meditate on that as we sing this morning?
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
So we're going to pray like we always do. We're going to intercede for those who are sick and with cancer, and I know on a regular daily basis it gets challenging and difficult at times, and what it calls for is for us to humble ourselves and to, in a heart of humility, to continue faithfully pray for them. And so let's humble ourselves and let's truly lift them up, and let's ask the Lord to bless them, and ask for healing over those with cancer going through chemo and needing a transplant. So let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for those who need salvation and those who are still ill. And let's ask the Lord to use this difficult time to open their eyes to see that they need to be humble before the Lord and receive Him as their Lord and Savior. And so let's pray for salvation and for their sickness.
Pray for those who have other illnesses
And let's ask God to bless the recovery, and let's lift them up in prayer right now.
Lord, we just pray for John Lee, God, for his knee surgery. Lord, we just ask, Father, for complete healing, God, that it would be even stronger before, God, that it would be a medical marvel right now, God, that you would glory, God, as he goes to France to study. Lord, we pray against any complications now in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for his dad, Lord, for kneecap. Lord, we just pray for healing in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Carmen's grandmother. Lord, we pray for Jean and chemo. Lord, we pray for Ellen Young. God, we pray for further womb to come out, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Pastor Collin. Lord, we pray for me and his father, Lord. God, continue to generate, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Let's lift up those who are needing employment and jobs, and let's continue to lift them up and ask the Lord to bless them and provide, and to, in the midst of maybe anxiety or fear or challenges, that they would find peace in the Lord. So let's lift them up right now. Pray for our mission focus today, and let's lift up North Korea and obviously the political situation there. And actually, one of Chris's colleagues is here leaving today, and so let's lift her up. Her name's Youngshil, and so let's pray for her safe return. Let's pray for South Korea. Let's pray for Japan, and let's lift up that region of Asia right now and ask the Lord to truly come and reveal himself. And so let's pray for the servants and workers there, and the churches and the communities there. And so let's lift them up right now.
Father, we pray for North Korea. Lord, we just pray, Father God, for your blessing. Lord, we just pray, Father, for Chris and Youngshil. Lord, we just ask God for just pray that you find a partner for God. We lift up, God, the relationship between them. Lord, we pray, Lord, that there will not be war. God, we just pray, God, that justice will come. Lord, this conflict is bigger than anything that we can handle, Lord God. And there's so much fear, God, but we give it to you, God, that you would be the Prince of Peace, God, in South Korea is right now. Lord, that you would be the Prince of Peace. Lord, we pray for Japan and Pastor Tsunobu. Lord, we pray for Lord, for evangelism, God, to go forth, God, that you would send people to Japan, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for Samuel, Lord Jesus.
Let's pray for SP Ministries. Let's pray for the IP team, the prayer team, Well Ministry, Healing Ministry, for Cascade Inner Healing Ministry. Let's lift up leaders there, Matt and Rachel and Larry, and let's ask God to truly bless them. Let's pray for the Hospitality Ministries, for the Welcome Team and the Barista team. And so let's lift them up, that God would use them powerfully, and that they would experience the power and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's lift them up in prayer. Let's lift up a Hong Kong Korean church and our senior pastor Choi. Let's pray for unity and growth and provision for them. And let's ask the Lord to bless them as they are an influence among the Korean community here in Hong Kong. So let's lift them up in prayer.
Father, we thank you for Korean Church. Lord, we just pray, Father, for your leadership to come upon them. We pray for Korean Church, Lord, unity, God. Lord, we just pray that they would hear the same voice, the same God. Lord, we just pray, Father God, for their unity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So Lord, we just pray, Lord, we just Jesus.
Let's lift up our house churches meeting today, Elements and Conduit, and ask that today's gathering would be a time of unity, of a blessing as they serve one another, as they love one another, as they carry each other's burdens, as they pray for one another. Let's lift up Elements and Conduit House Church today. So Lord, this morning we just cast our cares upon you, and we thank you that you love us and you care for us. Lord, we humble ourselves, God, to give you the first part of our morning before we go to work. Lord, we just ask, God, that you would remind us to humble ourselves daily, moment by moment, second by second, before you. And God, through that, we pray that you would do incredible, mighty works and deeds through our lives. And God, that we can experience you in the midst of the humility that we give you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to spend some time in worship and spend some time in his presence. Spend some time in prayer and have a great day at work. And we'll see you tomorrow.